The reason why you need a thoughtful, well-written, comprehensive representation agreement is that one of the most potentially dangerous allegations that's stated by clients in legal malpractice lawsuits, in grievances, and fee forfeiture proceedings is, I wouldn't have gone forward with the representation if the lawyer had told me X, whatever X is. And the reason that's so dangerous is because there are lawyers who specialize in plaintiff's legal malpractice work, who when a client comes to them says, okay, I'm gonna ask you a bunch of questions and I need for you to tell me if the lawyer told you about this before they signed you up or during the representation. And they'll come up with a bunch of questions that could create the potential for liability for negligence on the part of the lawyer if they didn't tell them. Well, if something is shared verbally by the lawyer, orally, there's no record of it. If it's in the well-written, thoughtful, comprehensive representation agreement, you have proof that it was raised. And that's one of the reasons why you want to put in as many of the potentialities that could go wrong in a case as possible, because when the client initials each page of it and signs off at the end of it, there's no way that they can come forward and say, I didn't know. And I will tell you, in a particular case, a client did say, he never told me X, and it was right in my representation agreement. Summary judgment granted. That's why it's so important to have a well-written and comprehensive representation agreement. But going back to the client, if the client is willing to testify that an attorney failed to inform him or her about something at the beginning of the representation, and there's no documentation that issue was addressed with the client at the start of the representation, the matter becomes a disputed issue of material fact. That phrase, disputed issue of material fact, is important to malpractice cases, it's important to sanctions, it's important to grievances, and here's why. Disputed issues of fact sometimes mean the difference between getting a take-nothing summary judgment in a legal malpractice lawsuit or not, or receiving a summary no just cause finding in a grievance proceeding or not. So if there's absolute proof that you notified the client or informed the client of something, preferably in your signed written representation agreement, there can be no fact dispute regarding whether you did it or not. It's there literally in black and white. But it's just as important as getting out of a case either on summary judgment or a no just cause finding is the fact that legal malpractice insurance carriers and law firm administrators seek to manage and avoid risk and bad publicity. Sometimes they settle otherwise meritless lawsuits simply because of the presence of a disputed issue of material fact and the costs to the firm of disputing it, whether it's in reputation, because there are repeated headlines in the Texas Lawyer and other legal publications, or the cost in terms of having to hire counsel to handle the case. Sometimes it's easier, even if they don't believe that there is merit to the matter, to settle these cases before they get out of hand. And that is, while it may be good for the firm, it's certainly a black mark for the lawyer who is the reason why that suit was filed in the first place. When we talk about these well-written representation agreements, I know a lot of you practice in firms, and I think you might say, well, the firm handles that, or I don't have any control over what the representation agreement says. Just so you know, yes, I've been in sole practice for about 20 plus years, but I've also been in a big firm and I've been in a medium-sized firm, so I understand how these things work. And I will tell you point blank, I have never seen a grievance and I've never seen a malpractice case where the individual lawyer who was the target of the allegations wasn't mentioned. Sometimes the firm is mentioned, but invariably the lawyer who's involved is. And before you tell yourself or before you tell me, well, I don't really have to worry about what's in the representation agreement because the firm handles that, pull out the little gold card in your wallet, not the American Express card, your bar card, and look at it. Do you see the firm's name on there? No, it's not. And the reason is, regardless of what the firm does or doesn't do with regard to what's in the representation agreements, the lawyer who's handling the case and is responsible for the client is ultimately going to be responsible when it comes to sanctions, when it comes to a potential legal malpractice claim, and when it comes to a potential grievance. So it's not enough to say the firm handles this. If you are in a firm where you feel like the representation agreement isn't comprehensive enough and doesn't cover some of the things that should be, by all means, raise it with your firm administrators or your managing partner or the managing attorney over the firm, because they may end up appreciating that, because you're not only protecting yourself, but you're protecting the other lawyers at the firm as well.